Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we visit an icon for broadcasting in Austria's capital to see how its role is changing, but its culture and tradition remains intact. To take us through the hallowed halls and explain a little bit more about what the building means to the Viennese, here's Monocle's culture editor, Chiara Remella.
For a place that was built for the performance and broadcasting of music, Vienna's Funkhaus is strangely quiet. Walk down its white, sparse, low-ceilinged corridors and you'll feel like you've set foot on a transatlantic ship or in an underground bunker. Occasionally, from behind a heavy metal door, you'll hear the noise of an orchestra tuning its instruments. But the noise fades quickly and a hushed silence soon settles again. ORF, Austria's revered public service broadcaster, might also operate out of 9 regional offices and transmit its TV channels from a glass box in the outskirts of Vienna, but this remains its radio's historical home. A few steps away from Central Karlsplatz, it proudly sports the broadcaster's name on its facade in stark capital letters. The Viennese have always known that ORF plays a central role in the city's and Austria's identity. So much so that when planning its subway network, the municipality decided not to allow the U-Bahn to run underneath the Funkhaus so as to avoid disturbing the radio's activities. Few countries in Europe love their public radio more than Austria. In 2018, ORF radio held a staggering 72% of radio market share in the country. Also impressively, 95% of Austrians tune in to at least one of ORF's channels, be it TV, radio or online, every week. No other media company in the country can compete. Despite the broadcaster's fortunes, though, there's a certain melancholia to the Funkhaus. If this building feels nostalgic, it's because much of it has stayed unchanged since it was completed in 1938. That's when architect Clemens Holzmeister, whose work included churches and festival halls around the country, saw his designs come to life. He was tasked with constructing a structure that would house the nation's fledgling public radio service. RAVAG, as it was called, had started broadcasting in 1923, first from the Ministry of Defence and later from an apartment on the Johannesgasse. But this new outpost would give it 18 studios, including a majestic hall where the public could enjoy classical music performances. But the project was also not to appear wasteful. Public funds were closely guarded as much then as they are now. Holzmeister's building had to be functional and cheap, but equipped with the latest technology. The philosophy married well with the architectural diktat of the time. Austrofascism preferred rational buildings where decoration was sparse. In the lobby, a pair of grooved metal columns, stucco ceiling and lustrous pink and beige marble floor would provide extravagant touches. The recording halls, though, looked all the better for the wooden panel's ability to ensure perfect acoustics. Comely chandeliers, an organ and comfortable leather seats were also installed in the grand hall, to the delight of attendees. By the time construction was finished, the Nazi annexation of Austria prevented RAVAG from cutting the ribbon. The building flew a swastika-adorned flag throughout the Second World War, while a bust of Hitler towered at the entrance. The Nazis used the building to broadcast their own marching music and propaganda. The Russians came next, replacing Hitler's bust with Stalin's. The propaganda program Russian Hour would be recorded here for almost a decade. Finally, in 1953, all censorship was lifted and a public broadcaster ORF could finally claim this space for itself. For decades, a variety of stations found their home in the building, but this radio utopia couldn't last. After station relocations and the sale of the building, the Funkhaus is now in transition. While nobody is certain of what use their offices, control rooms and radio studios will be put to, what employees do know is that the activities of Radio Kulturhaus, the part of the building that houses the beautiful performance and recording studios used for concerts and talks, will carry on in the future. Take a look at the recording studios and you'll see why these places deserve protection. Handsomely wood-panelled Studio 2 is also covered in Klimt-like faded textiles. Studio 3 is adorned with art by Austrian painter Hilda Jesser-Schmidt, Art Deco images of the bourgeoisie picnicking and making merry naked in the park. Not only that, every room hides smart but imperceptible measures to ensure that audio quality here is always impeccable. All have multi-layered walls and double ceilings and are separated from other rooms by cushioning empty corridors and a double set of doors. Each studio is shaped like a trapeze to aid the even distribution of sound. What look like aesthetic decorations, slits in the wood panelling, cylindrical shapes protruding from the walls, are all tricks to improve the quality of recordings. The noise protection system works so well that each recording studio is fitted with a visual emergency alarm. Should sirens go off outside, nobody would notice. It's important for these public-facing venues to remain active in the centre of the city, accessible to the ordinary Viennese who might want to pop in for an event like a discussion on the concept of holiness with German social philosopher Hans Joas. The Austrian public don't seem to shy away from complicated topics. Radio Culture House usually puts on about 300 events a year that cater for all manner of interests, including book presentations, rock gigs, choir shows, plays, political discussions, and classical music concerts. The latter remain an important pillar of what goes on at the Funk House. Whatever might happen in the future, one thing is clear. The sound of music will continue to emanate from behind the iconic Funk House's well-insulated doors for many years to come.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Chiara Ramella for today's episode. Remember to tune in on Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.